Let me pray, and then I'll read our passage for today. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to step away from the busyness of work, to think about the bigger things of life, to think about some of the big questions of life. And we thank you that as we do that, your word speaks to us and is relevant to us still today. We pray therefore now that you would help us to hear what it is you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in 1 John chapter 2. Let me read this passage. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
Good afternoon. This was a bit like a select committee, the way this is set up. That's all right.
It's very strong, isn't it? Do not love the world or anything in the world. I mean, what on earth does that mean?
Mince pies. Are we allowed to love them? I mean, for a little while until we get a bit bored of them. But, what does it mean?
And it's very strong. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Are the, perhaps the Amish the only people who've got it right? There was a case back early in the year, about May, June time, and made the press, because a group of the Amish community in Canton, which is right in the north of New York State, had got in trouble with the law. Very remote, cut off, gets down to minus 15 in the winter, the sort of place where the children are not allowed to go into town in case they're corrupted by the people who live there. Much of their work is dairy farmers. They produce their milk, but drop it off in a neutral territory so they don't have to meet anyone who's not part of their community. They're completely cut off. And the reason they got into trouble was they built some new houses. They hadn't installed smoke alarms, which is the law in New York State. And so they were taken to court. You have to have smoke alarms. But the case proceeded a bit like this, with the Amish saying, it is against our Christian beliefs to have anything quite so modern in our homes. I read an interview with some of these guys, and the question was put to them, well, what happens if there's a fire? I use this, says the man pointing at his nose, or him, his finger pointing up. I don't need a devil on the wall to tell me that my house is on fire. Because they don't love anything in the world. They hate anything manufactured after 1880 or something like that. You can't have anything modern. Is that what John means when he says, do not love the world or anything in the world? Yeah, it's a bit more nuanced than that. We've been looking at this letter of 1 John over a few weeks. It's a letter written to a church, and the church is unsettled because some members had split off and formed a new church. I've taken to call this church NASCOM, the New and Superior Church of the Messiah. I don't know if it was called that. But that's essentially what they thought. And so the people left behind were thinking, what's going on? And John writes and says that the problem with those guys who split off, they're just worldly. They love this world, and it's distracted them from what is true. Let me just ask three questions to cut across this so we can make sense of it. What is the world? What is loving the world? Why not love the world? Three little questions that will help us gain some certainty about what we should believe. First then, what is the world? Do not love the world or anything in it.
Broadly, John uses the word in two senses. First sense, creation, planet Earth, in an entirely neutral way. We live in the world.
And he uses John in his letter throughout the Bible, an entirely neutral sense of this place. But the second sense is different. Second sense is, I guess you could call it worldly. Opposition to God. You want to get those right, not get the two of them confused. So the first, the creation, is just a place made by God. Well, don't hate that. Perfectly reasonable, in fact, good to love that. So all the way at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, God made the world and saw that it was good.
So I like that. I made it. I should do it. I'm brilliant. I like that.
I've made the world and it's good. And God made humanity as stewards over the earth, over this world.
And he's still actively involved in it, as Jesus would say. He clothes the flowers. He feeds the birds.
He's actively involved in this world. He loves his creation. Elsewhere, the New Testament put it bluntly, 1 Timothy 4, everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving.
So one hand, enjoy this world. Enjoy everything this world has to offer. Feel free to have a devil upon your wall, of a smoke alarm. Nothing wrong with that.
God has given creativity to many in this world, so we can enjoy music and films and art in galleries and clever programs, dramas, documentaries on television. God loves his work. He made it good. Enjoy it. That is true. But what John is talking about here is that second sense, worldliness. The idea that the material world is all that there is and nothing more. All you need to create this world is string theory, one or two constants, such as gravity, and there's nothing more. Worldliness. But just the material world. So, eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die, and that's it. It's that sort of sense that John is talking about. I guess you could put it this way. Creation minus God equals the world, in the sense he's using it here. Don't love a godless world, is really what he's saying. Don't love that. Now, verse 15 is clear. You have a choice. And you have to make it. You either love the world or you love the Father. So verse 15, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
You make your choice between recognizing God and honoring him or just this world.
This world is a closed box and is all that there is. And you live for what happens here and now.
What's the world? Two senses, but John's using the second one. A godless place.
There's no God in your framework. What is loving the world? It becomes easier, I think. What is loving the world? Well, verse 16 defines what that is in three little phrases. Everything in the world. Phrase one, the cravings of sinful man. The lust of his eyes, second thing. And the boasting of what he has and what he does. So three different things. The cravings of sinful man, that's desires that come from within. The lusts of the eyes, that's desiring something outside. And then the last, the boasting of what we have. So worldliness can be desiring stuff we lack or boasting about stuff we have. But anyway, let's have a little look at those three. So first then, the cravings of sinful man, or literally the cravings of the flesh.
Craving. I mean, literally just the word is desire, but craving, I think, captures the meaning of it here. It's a good translation.
Then John would say it's entirely normal to desire food, drink, companionship, aesthetic pleasures. Entirely normal to enjoy them. But when you allow them to control you, that becomes a craving. When you say, I just can't, that's more important, I just can't resist. It's a craving that's got hold of you. I read an interview an article. It is 20 years since the 56-year-old Woody Allen left his partner, Mia Farrow, or, 20-odd years or whatever it was, not quite, for her adopted daughter, Sun Yi. 35 years younger than Woody Allen, she 21, he 56. Great scandal at the time, 20 years since that took place. And it had in there his quote at the time, how could you do such a thing? You're running off with your stepdaughter, and she's just a little girl, really. And his response is very simple. The heart wants what the heart wants. My heart wants it. How can I resist? You just got to do what your heart says, haven't you? No resistance. I crave this girl, 35 years younger than me. I'll have her. I can't deny myself. That would be untrue to who I am. A craving. So for us, a craving, the man who says, I don't know, it's killing me trying to control everything at work. But But being in control is more important than anything else. Certainly more important than God. Or the woman who's offered a business transaction and says, I know this is unethical, but the money it will bring in, whew, that is more important than anything. I crave that money, and so I'm just putting aside my ethical concerns. A craving. Something's just far more important than God. Cravings, they come from within. Second little thing that's worldliness, or loving the world, is the lust of eyes. It's the same word as craving, actually. They just translated differently, I don't know why. But the lusts of the eyes. We see something, and we want it. And the journey from the eye to the heart is not a long one. We crave the things that we see. And I don't know about you, but I am under attack every day in this. Because magazines that come through the post, they just land endlessly on the mat, advertising various things that you lust after. Now, to be fair, for me, most magazines that are addressed to me or advertising are pretty boring and not that attractive. So most of the mail I get is, do you want some new clerical robes? Do you want some new communion cups? Do you want some more stuff like that? I get about one a week of those things, and no, I don't. But most of the other things that come through actually have my wife's name on them, and they are for clothing and sofas and clothing and holidays and furniture and clothing. And this sort of relentless stream of temptation lands on the doormat saying, lust after this. Sofa, clothing, whatever it may be. And you don't have to wait for that. My 7-year-old now gets 2 magazines regularly through the post. One is Lego and the other is just some other toy maker. And so that he can lust after plastic bricks and say to me, I want that for Christmas and that 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 and that. And of course his cry is the same as all of our cries. We don't say it out loud like he might, but it's the same cry. I really want. Our cry is probably not, I really want some Lego. If it is, that's okay. You know, it's a nice toy. Probably time to grow up. But something similar. I really want that new electric gizmo. I really want the ideal home. I really want. And the lust of the eyes. We just so desire these things. Of course, one area is, acute area. I don't know if you think of this, lust of the eyes. I was reading again this week, 56% of marriages that end in divorce cite pornography as the reason. How destructive the lust of the eyes can be. Over half of marriages say the reason, the key reason why it failed, is one or other involved in pornography. Utterly destructive, the lusts of the eyes. That's an acute one. But you can get addicted to all sorts of purchasing, or with all sorts of ideal home, or having this, that, and the other. The lusts of the eyes, be careful, he says, watch out for them. Third little thing, so the cravings of simple man, the lusts of his eyes, the third little thing, the boasting of what he has and what he does. Loving the world, literally the boasting of life. It's one word in the original. The boasting of life. All that we have. Boasting about it. So obsessed with our status that we have to tell everyone and achieve and make sure our status is defended. I don't know if you saw this back in September time. Cristiano Ronaldo, very talented bloke. Well, football, I don't know about his IQ or anything like that, but clearly very talented at football. But he was miserable, do you remember this, back in September. So freely scoring goals for his club, Real Madrid, but he'd score a goal and then just walk away. And his teammates would try to give him the normal kiss and cuddles, and he'd have none of it. He'd just sort of walk away. And after a while, obviously, the media noticed this. What is wrong? His comment was, I am very unhappy with my professional situation at the club. Huh? What is this? It turned out the situation was he wasn't paid enough. His salary is £8 million a year. I think that's quite good. If I'm honest, that is more than I get paid. £8 million a year. I'm very sad at my profession. What is his problem? The problem was at the beginning of September, a league was published of the best paid footballers in the world, and he only came 10th. The money, neither here nor there. He just wanted to be paid the most. I mean, it didn't matter if he was paid £4 million. If he was number one in the poll, blissfully happy. I am recognised as the best, most worthy footballer in the world. But 10th. And there are players at Real Madrid who also get paid £8 million, but they make the starting 11. How can I be in the same category as them? What about his status? He's boasting of what he has, who he is in life. It wasn't as easy to laugh at that. For goodness sake, you muppet, you earn £8 million a year. How could you grumble about your salary? We just look around our own little network, our own office. What are their figures? Oh. Why is he? Oh. He's got that bit. Oh. She's putting in what hours? I seem to be putting in more than her. Why is my recognition? Oh. And we're just the same as Ronaldo, just ratcheted down a naught or two on the figures. The same idea. So these three things, they're worldly, says John, the cravings of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the boasting of our lives. It's just worldliness. So be wary, don't do those things. And lastly, very simply, why not? Why not love the world? Well, two reasons he gives, actually, one at the beginning, one at the end. We touched on the first. Why not love the world? First thing. Because you cannot love the world and the Father, verse 15. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot. Very stark. We think we can. Some of us Christians here would say, yeah, it's alright. I can be a Christian and thoroughly love the world and be obsessed with my status and crave after all sorts of gadgets and consumables and have all sorts of lust. But stop. You can't. You cannot do both. Jesus says it exactly the same way in Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other. Be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot. It's impossible. Or James puts it in James chapter 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. You cannot love God as your Father and love this world in the sense of obsessing about it, craving for its goods. You cannot do both. One always takes priority. Be aware of that. You've got to be realistic on that. So in the context of this letter of 1 John, John is just giving a warning. If you choose to love the world, you will walk away from the Father. That'll happen eventually. And as the love of the world goes up, the love of the Father will go down. Or conversely, if your love for the Father goes up, your cravings for this world will fade. It's not instant, of course, not quick, but it's just a direction. It's a path that we walk on. So why not love the world? You can't. You can't do both, he says. And the second little reason is right at the end there, verse 17. Why not love the world? Well, verse 17. The world and its desires pass away. The man who does the will of God lives forever. This world and its desires pass away.
And we just need to be reminded of that, don't we? Imagine this silly scenario. You decide, for some reason, I have no idea why, you decide that at midday on the 21st of June next year, between 12 o'clock and 12:05, you are going to have the most extraordinary 5 minutes that this world can possibly throw at you. Absolute luxury and plenty, and you're going to squeeze in the most extraordinary 5 minutes that any human has ever had in their life. And so you sell everything. You sell your house, you sell your car, you sell your family, you sell anything that you can possibly sell on the internet. You can probably sell all those things. You cash in the pension pot, everything. Everything is going for those 5 minutes. And you think long and hard about it. What can I get myself in 5 minutes? You plan the menu. You've only got 5 minutes, but you're going to have a go at putting in some absurdly expensive food and wonderfully expensive wine. And you decide, what shall I do? And you
ring up Richard Branson, how are the private flights to the moon going? Yeah, well, the first one's going in June. Brilliant. Book me on for the 21st of June. I'm getting on a rocket, and I want a jacuzzi on my rockets to the moon. I've cashed in everything. And I'm hiring, I don't know what your musical tastes are. I'm hiring Bruce Springsteen. I'm hiring the Royal Opera House. I want them singing to me. And I don't know how much money I've got left, but beautiful people all around me, dancing for me. I am going to have the most extraordinary sensory 5 minutes between 12 and 12:05 on the 21st of June next year that anyone's ever had. And you do. You blow everything on those 5 minutes. And at 12:06, you land back in London and you have nothing. Not yet, no job, no money, only the clothes you're wearing. Everyone you know has left you because they think you're nuts. You have nothing. Was that a good use of your time? Was that a good deal to have those wonderful 5 minutes in the scheme of 80 years of a lifetime? That is obviously mad. And John is saying to invest everything that you have, all that you have, in 80 years of a lifetime, in the scheme of eternity, is mad. It's a ridiculous thing to do. 5 minutes, 80 years. 80 years, eternity. Crazy decision to make. And John is saying, you do realise, don't you, this world will go. What will be left? The world and its desires pass away. The man who does the will of God, oh, he lives forever. Don't invest your life foolishly, he's saying. Don't live for this world. That's a foolish decision. See, if you crave happiness now in this world and you seek to pursue it without God, you end up with misery. If you crave love in this world now and you pursue it without God, you do end up with rejection. If you pursue significance in this world without God, you'll end up with futility. If you pursue control in this world without any reference to God, you'll end up with chaos. But if you crave the Father now and desire to do His will, well then in eternity you receive Him and happiness and love and significance. All these things get wrapped up in Him. He says, don't love the world. Love the Father. Then you have certainty of your future. Don't obsess about the small period of time and invest everything into it. Remember the eternal period of time. You'll make silly decisions. Don't love the world. Love God as your Father, he says. Let's pray together. Our Father, these are blunt truths, and we need them, because it's so easy to love this world. You've made a good world, and you want us to enjoy it, but not to love it at your expense, not to love it without reference to you. So would we not make that foolish mistake, but would we love you as our Father, and therefore see our cravings for this world drift away a little, so we can enjoy all the good things, but know that they are nothing compared to knowing you. I do ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.